Welcome to our show. That is Joan Baez, a great, great song, We Shall Overcome. We are doing that song the last couple of weeks and today because they just had the commemoration of the 50-year anniversary of the Great March of 1963. It was Wednesday, the 28th of August. And this was the Great March where Dr. Martin Luther King gave the great, great speech, I Have a Dream. I'm going to try to get that that speech, or part of it at least, on this show in the near future. My name is Bobby Elias, and this show is called Let's Create a Better World. Our other theme is healthy aging. Let's live to be over 100 years old. And at the end of the show, I will talk about that Civil Rights March. I have an announcement about a big, big health thing coming up. And a smaller meeting coming up also, but we're going to get to our show in a few minutes. Let me tell you, first of all, what the show is all about. I do have a great, great guest coming on in a few minutes, Dr. Neil Barnard. We're going to talk about a number of his books, his information on vegetarianism, on the power of the brain, and also diabetes, and many, many other issues. He's got great, great books, great information out there. And we'll have him on in about 2 minutes. Let me just say that this show is all about health, body, mind, spirit, aging. It's about solutions on making this a better world. We'll talk about everything that activism, genetically engineered foods, and why they're bad. And that's something that I do want to bring up to Dr. Neil Barnard in a few minutes or so. We also talk about arts and culture. Dance, yoga, meditation, love, films. We talk about everything here on this show that's making to make this a better world. Now, if you like our show, please rate us on iTunes. You can also get us on the archives. I recommend you hear my August the 3rd show. It was a show on aging that was just a lot of people liked. It was myself and Dr. Sarah Larson, one of our guests, but more of a co-host now. We went back and forth on everything to do with aging. We also are into nature. The show is, I just love doing this show, and we're going to be doing some big things here. We're going to be interviewing some great people, so stay with us. Now, let's get to our guest. We're going to be on for about 35 minutes with Dr. Neil Barnard. He is a great doctor, in my opinion, one of the people I really look up to. He runs a thing called the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. He's a doctor, written a number of great books. We're going to get into that on the show. I really like, welcome, Dr. Barnard. How are you doing?
Yes, hello. It's great to be with you.
Yes, yes. I believe I met you. I may have met you when you were in Pasadena giving a talk. Were you there about 7, 8, 9 years ago at a church, All Saints?
Now, that could well be the case, and I want to thank you for having me on your program, because you're reaching a lot of people, and I'm pleased to be able to spread a good word.
Thank you very much. Yeah, this show is part of Progressive Radio Network, the fastest-growing station in the world. People don't realize it, but online radio is getting bigger and bigger all the time, and we're dedicated to having people like you on and to give us all this information. I want to read your books more thoroughly and consider having you on again. So let's get into the show, Dr. Barnard. You have a number of books. The first thing that hits me, though, is because I'm a vegan for many years, and I don't expect every people. I run Gary Noel meetings here in Southern California, Los Angeles, and we have this radio show, and I help people with their health using Gary Noel's guidelines and other people like yourself and Dr. Schultz, who you mentioned in your book, your information here. But let's talk about vegetarian foods. First of all, about your committee and about, tell our listeners about vegetarian foods and why it's so important to eat a vegetarian diet.
Well, I should first confess that this is not the way I grew up. I grew up in Fargo, North Dakota, and my grandpa and every generation back as far as I can trace was actually in the cattle business. And my dad grew up on a cattle ranch, and I have to say he didn't like it very much, and he left. He went to medical school, and he spent his life treating diabetes in Fargo. And that's where I grew up. But we still ate like we were in the cattle business, so it was a very meaty diet. However, before I went to medical school, I started to realize that there were some health risks of meat. And once I got into medical school and then into practice and doing research, I was struck by the fact that the people who eat a more plant-based diet do a lot better. And so we started testing plant-based diets, vegetarian and vegan diets, and we found that people who avoid animal products, they tend to slim down, they lose weight, their cholesterol levels fall, if they've got diabetes, it gets better. And it struck us that it was really a very powerful medicine to use this kind of approach. And as time has gone on, I've also adopted this diet myself, and I've really find it's not only a good way to stay healthy, but it's delightfully pleasant food, delicious food, and extremely varied. So it's a good thing.
Great, great. So why should Americans consider a vegan diet or vegetarian diet or a diet with less and less meat? Please give me your take on that, please.
Yes, well, if a person wants to lose weight and they're tired of the usual kind of old-fashioned approaches like avoiding carbohydrate or cutting calories or trying to sweat it off at the gym, and they're not getting anywhere, let me encourage you to just set aside the animal products for a little while. Keep the oils low, too. Just that's all you do. So you get up in the morning, and maybe you'll have a big bowl of oatmeal topped with cinnamon and raisins or some toast with some jam, or if you want bacon or sausage, we'll have the vegetarian bacon, vegetarian sausage. Have those choices. For lunch,
good idea. For
lunch, maybe you're having chili, but not a meat chili. Have a bean chili or chunky vegetable chili. At night, if you're at a nice Italian restaurant, maybe you have a glass of wine, some espresso at the end of the meal. But top your pasta with the tomato sauce, the artichoke hearts, or the mushrooms, or whatever the case may be. This doesn't sound challenging, but as time goes on, you'll be amazed at what it does for you, just avoiding the meats and the cheeses and the other dairy products. As time goes on, you tend to lose weight, your energy gets better, people with diabetes get dramatically better, and it's really the approach that everybody ought to be doing at every age.
Right. Dr. Barnard, you've written a lot about these two things. I'd like you to give us a few words on beating heart disease and lowering blood pressure, because they kind of, to me, they go kind of hand in hand. Can you give us some comments on that, please?
Yeah, it's true. The reason that we have so much heart disease in the United States and in Western Europe and many other countries is a meat-based diet. You know, we don't have a rice-based diet like they might have in Japan or China. We have a meat-based diet, typically. In other words, when I was growing up, a meal wasn't a meal without meat at the middle of it. But that meat has a lot of what we call bad fat or saturated fat. It's got a lot of cholesterol. That, in turn, causes artery blockages to form. Your arteries get narrow. And sooner or later, you end up with a heart attack. And if people would get away from those foods, you could prevent it, or you could even reverse artery blockages. But it's not just that. We have recently learned that the same kinds of diet changes that can prevent heart attacks may even prevent Alzheimer's disease. And I've written a new book called Power Foods for the Brain, because I was awestruck by the evidence that getting away from the meats and the dairy products, eating the vegetables and fruits and healthy foods, can affect Alzheimer's risk just like it can affect the health of your heart.
And it can also help you prevent it, because there's a lot of people, you know, Dr. Barnard, every 7 seconds someone's turning 50, just in this country alone, not just around the world. But I like what you said. Let's get back to, I want to talk about the cattle. You grew up in a cattle ranch, and you know that before, cattle were treated a lot better and fed better. Now, it's gotten really, really bad. They're herded in. They are not taken care of the right way. They're fed horrible, horrible diets, geometrically engineered foods. They're fed other dead cattle. They're fed cardboard in some places. This is not good. I mean, this is what people are eating. Can you make a comment on that, please?
Well, it's true that animals are fed in ways to really fatten them up, and that sometimes includes hormones and often includes antibiotics. However, cattle were never treated well. Even my great-grandpa, who never heard of a feedlot, they didn't treat their animals terribly well, and they didn't feed them very well, and the product that came out of them is never good. I don't care how much you think you're babying your livestock. At the end of the day, a chunk of the animal's leg or chest, which is what a cut of meat was that my family would produce, that is never the same as fruits and vegetables and whole grains and beans. And the reason I mention that is a lot of folks nowadays say, well, I'm eating grass-fed beef, and that's healthier for you. My family raised grass-fed beef for generations, and it poisoned a lot of people. Grass-fed and corn-fed, it's sort of like low-tar cigarettes and regular cigarettes. You want to get rid of all of it. Now, if that sounds like a big change for people, keep in mind that you can make this change in a very easy way. First of all, before you change your diet, just test out different plant-based foods. So I mentioned oatmeal earlier, but it could also be blueberry pancakes or whatever. If you're going to the submarine sandwich shop, just have them leave the meat and cheese off your sub. Have the lettuce and the tomatoes and the spinach and the olives and the cucumbers and the hot peppers and the red wine vinegar, and make them toast it for you. So it's a delightful meal. You can have an enjoyable meal. And as you come to discover the foods that you like that are plant-based, at some point, give yourself 3 weeks all vegan all the time. And it will open your eyes and it will change your life. It's astounding how these foods can change your health. So anyway, meat was always a bad thing, but it's easy to get away from it.
Yes, Dr. Barnard, there are some people that are advocating, some health groups, for meat eaters to at least give it up one day a week, Monday. I've heard movements of that sort going on, and I think that's wonderful. And I think if people do eat meat, I realize they like it, and I realize it's hard to get off it. But like you said, if they can at least, and like I would say, gradually get off it, that would be good. Another issue I want to talk about, Dr. Barnard, is the geometrically engineered foods, because that does affect not only meat, but affects 85% of the things that you buy at normal supermarkets, even the health stores. We understand that even at Whole Foods, there are some genetically engineered foods in there that are coming in from Monsanto. Yes, they struck a deal, and there's some things going on with that, and I want to get into more investigation on that as we go along, but I want your comments on geometrically engineered foods, which is a big topic on this show, and how that affects people, how it affects health, and what we can do about it.
Yeah, there are only two genetically engineered foods sold in the United States, corn and soy. And you can easily avoid them. Let's say you want to go get some corn on the cob. Look for the one that says it's organic. If it's raised organic, by law, it cannot be genetically modified. Let's say you want to get some tofu or soy milk. Look on the label. Make sure it says organic. Many of the brands are organic, and if they are, they cannot be GMO. So you've got nothing to worry about. So I wouldn't worry about it at all, unless if you're a meat eater or you're drinking milk, what do you think the cow is eating? The cow is being fed genetically engineered corn or genetically engineered soy. And when I was just back in Fargo, where I grew up, last week, and as I drive in and out of town, the fields are, as far as the eye can see, corn and soybeans. No human being is going to eat any of that. That's all cattle feed and feed for hogs and chickens. And so if you're eating a chicken, you're getting an animal that's been living his whole life on genetically modified foods in many cases. So I would steer clear of that. Choose the plant-based diet. Go for organic. It's going to be very easy for you to do.
great. Dr. Barnard, this is great. We're going quickly on a lot of subjects. We're going to cover a lot of territory on this interview. The preventing and reversing diabetes is not just for people that have diabetes. I just like you, preventing cancer and heart disease, if people eat a good diet, they don't have to worry about this. Like you said, the brain food for the is good. But let's talk about preventing and reversing diabetes.
Yeah, 10 years ago, my group, Physicians Committee, or PCRM, did a study funded by the National Institutes of Health where we compared traditional or conventional diabetes diet that is based on limiting carbohydrate and restricting calories to help people lose weight. That's the traditional approach. We compared that to a new diet, and the new diet was totally vegan, no animal products at all, but people were free to eat as much as they wanted. It was changing the quality of the food, not the amount. So you were free to eat all the spaghetti that you might want, all the fruit, all the beans, all the things that people with diabetes are afraid of. You could indulge in at your heart's desire. So you could eat bread and everything. As time went on, it became clear that this plant-based diet was very powerful. It helped people to lose weight, more weight than they were losing if they were counting calories. It helped their blood sugars to fall. Many people got off their medicines or needed less medicine, and it just changed people's lives. So that's really what made us a believer. And PBS then picked up on this and made a program out of it that the last I heard had aired in the PBS affiliates around the country more than 6,000 times. So I'm happy to say that this new approach is taking off. And this, if anybody either wants to prevent diabetes or you have it, don't wait. Do try this approach. This can save you from having the complications that diabetes will bring.
Excellent. Great. Another thing that you write about, I want to read something from one of your things that you wrote about gallstones, kidney stones, and osteoporosis. Here it says that vegetarian diets have been shown to reduce one's chances of forming kidney stones and gallstones. Diets that are high in protein, especially animal protein, tend to cause the body to excrete more calcium oxalate and uric acid. These three substances are the main components of urinary tract stones. Can you speak about that, please?
Yeah, it's kind of surprising. Where you really see this in dramatic fashion is when a person goes on an Atkins diet, which says don't eat any carbohydrate. So this is people wanting to lose weight. They're attracted to this diet by promises of quick weight loss. So they say no bread, no fruit, no crackers, no cereals, no beans. No, you're leaving out all the sources of carbohydrate. But if you take urine samples from these people as they do it, what you notice is they're losing calcium. They're losing calcium very quickly in their urine. It's filtering through the kidneys, and the high animal protein intake is what causes that to happen. And you don't want to lose calcium because your bone structure depends on it, but you also don't want to send all that calcium into your kidneys because a kidney stone is something that, believe me, if you have one, you will definitely not want another one. So you want to get away from animal protein. You do need protein, but plants are the best source of protein.
And, you know, Doctor, a lot of people don't even know they have gallstones or kidney stones until they get sicker, and then they go to the doctor, and they find out later. And even osteoporosis, is that true?
Yes, that is true. But when people get a kidney stone, sooner or later, it's going to start to hurt. And it makes childbirth look easy, I got to tell you. Kidney stones are tough.
Wow. Let's talk about asthma, emphysema, lungs, and how people get lung cancer. My mother died of lung cancer, and her mother died of lung cancer because they did experimenting back in the 40s or 30s in Arizona, where there was nothing but poor Mexicans and poor Indians who couldn't fight anything. And they did a lot of nuclear bomb testing. So my grandmother died at 35, so my mother had to take care of her younger brothers and sisters at only 17 years old. And she later died of lung cancer at 66. I had asthma. It all comes back to the same thing. As a young child for many years, I beat it because I got into health, really good health. Let's talk about asthma and emphysema. And you have here a 1985 Swedish study demonstrated that individuals with asthma practicing a vegan diet for a full year have a marked decrease in the need for medications and the frequency of severity of asthma attacks. Can you just get into that a little bit, please.
Well, I guess everybody's aware that asthma can be triggered by things like dust and pollen, but what they might not be aware of is that one of the proteins that we're exposed to the most is the dairy protein, cow's milk proteins. And it comes from an animal, an animal that we shouldn't normally, in nature, people would never have eaten a cow. And so when we ingest those proteins, our body reacts to them. We make antibodies to it. That kicks off an inflammatory reaction, and that tends to lead to the symptoms. So if anybody has asthma, or you have an asthmatic child, or you have a lot of allergies, get away from cow's milk products. Get away from them completely. Now, I'm not saying that you're necessarily allergic to the cow's milk. What I am saying is that it makes other allergies worse. So it's a good thing to get away from. Interestingly enough, a similar phenomenon relates to arthritis. When people react to these proteins, sometimes they get inflammation not in the lungs, but in the joints. So don't take this on faith. If you've got arthritis, get away from cow's milk products. See how you do. See if your joints don't feel better. For a lot of people, it just changes your life.
Wow. Yeah, Dr. Barnard, let me just reintroduce you to people that are coming that came in late. My name is Bobby Elias. Our show is about healthy aging and also about creating a better world. And this is Dr. Neil Barnard from the Physicians for Responsible Medicine, a great group. And we're talking about vegetarianism. We're also going to talk a little bit about his books on brain and also on diabetes. And then we really want people to know more about this doctor. He's really great. So, Doctor, let's talk next about vitamin B12, and this is really, really a great thing for vegans. Can you tell us why and a little more about that, please?
Sure. Well, everybody needs B12. It's important for healthy nerves and healthy blood, but it's unusual in that it's, unlike other vitamins, it's not made by plants, it's not made by animals. It's actually made by bacteria. And some people will say, okay, we would have gotten our B12 from the bacteria in the soil, on plants. Before the era of modern hygiene, we would have gotten B12 from those sources. I don't know if that's true, but it's not a reliable source today. You can't assume you're getting B12 from the soil or from things you pluck from the ground, because that's just not modern life. So we recommend that people actually take a B12 supplement. It's the one nutritional supplement I think everybody needs. I'm talking about just a pill of B12. It's also in multiple vitamins. B12 then protects your nerves, it protects your brain, it protects your blood cells, and the amount that the body needs is very, very small. It's 2.4 micrograms, but the truth is that all the pills have more than that, so you're not going to run low if you're getting your B12 supplement. It's something I encourage for everybody at every age.
That's great. I think for those of you that are listening, at the end of the show, we're going to give out Dr. Barnard's contact information. But I'm going to read you here. It says here, for further reading about vegetarianism and the diet, Dr. Barnard's committee recommends these books. I'll name the books here. Breaking the Food Seduction by Dr. Neil Barnard. Foods That Fight Pain by Dr. Barnard. Eat Right, Live Longer by Dr. Barnard. And Food for Life by this very good doctor. Also, the McDougall Plan by John McDougall, M.D., and also a program for reversing heart disease by Dean Ornish, M.D. And also, let's get into your books. We could talk about either one of them first. The Brain Book. What's the name of the Brain Book again? I have a copy of it here, and I've read part of it. What is the name of it? Tell us about the book, the name of it, and what it's about a little bit.
Yeah, this is my new book. It's called Power Foods for the Brain, and it's for young people who are feeling a little bit of brain fog, and they don't know that that's coming from foods, or it's for older people who are concerned about Alzheimer's disease and want to make sure that they are protected. So Power Foods for the Brain is my latest book. It just came out this year, and I'm hoping people will look at it and share it with their loved ones, because we now have abundant evidence that Alzheimer's disease can be prevented, at least to a large extent, by avoiding the bad fats. That's animal fat, and it's also the fat that's in donuts. By taking advantage of vegetables and fruits and the good things that they provide, we can prevent this disease, and we just need to put this power to work.
And your other book, Reversing Diabetes, is that the name of it? Can you tell us about that book?
Yes, it's called Dr. Neil Barnard's Program for Reversing Diabetes. It comes from our NIH-funded research study where we showed that by making some very simple diet changes, people improve dramatically. We have seen people lose a tremendous amount of weight, getting off their medicines or reducing their medications, and it's just a wonderful thing to see, and I'm hoping that anyone who's facing diabetes will put this to work.
You know, diabetes is growing more and more and more. You know, Dr. Barnard, I'm Latino, and in our community, one of the things that Dr. Gary Null wants me to do, and this is why he gave me the radio show, is reach out to the Latino communities, and we're doing that. We're trying to have meetings and teach people that it's a huge, huge problem in so many poor communities, especially the Latino community. Diabetes and obesity is huge. And let's get back into that a little bit about how a vegetarian diet can really, really help people that are getting diabetes. Like, it's just growing. It's one, I think, one of the fastest growing diseases in the world, I believe. Tell us a little more about that, please.
It is. Well, diabetes means there's too much sugar in the blood, and a high level of sugar in the blood ends up damaging the eyes, it damages the lower legs, it damages the heart and the kidneys, and it can take more than a decade off your life. It's the leading cause of blindness, the leading cause of loss of kidney function, so you don't want that. Up until now, people have been naive about it, though, or what I mean to say is they had imagined that if it means there's too much sugar in the blood, then that must be caused by eating too much sugar or eating bread or other carbohydrates that turn to sugar. That is not the cause. The cause of this disease is that the cells of the body get packed in with fat, fat that we have eaten from foods, chicken fat, beef fat, even fish fat, fryer grease, all of those fats get into the cells of the body. That stops the glucose from being able to get inside, and that leads to the glucose building up, the sugar building up in the bloodstream, and that's diabetes. So if you want to get rid of your diabetes, don't focus on avoiding carbohydrate. That's a mistake. Instead, avoid the fatty foods, meats, dairy products, and using too much oil in your cooking. When you make those changes, you get better.
Yeah, we're speaking to Dr. Neil Barnard. I'm Bobby Elias, and our show, Let's Create a Better World, and also How to Live to Be 100 and Healthy Aging. Gary Null has asked us to really talk more about aging. There are many, as I said earlier, every 7 seconds an American turns 50 and over. So we're going to talk about that with Dr. Barnard in a minute. But I want to also, what I've got, the next thing to talk about is mushrooms. And let me read something that I got from your work here. The major cause of cancer and many other degenerative diseases of the human body is an impacted liver, colon, and or kidneys that have become overloaded with toxins that cannot be eliminated from the human body. Let's talk about toxins and about what we can do about them, and then also about mushrooms.
The human body, of course, is subject to all kinds of things. You might inadvertently eat something toxic. You're not aware of it, but maybe there's some pesticides in something you ate. And there are also toxins that we inhale. This is just part of life. But we would die in an instant if our bodies didn't have a way of getting rid of these toxins. The liver makes enzymes that eliminate toxins from the body. However, those enzymes for a lot of people aren't working so well. So one of the ways of tuning them up is with green leafy vegetables. Here's what happens. If you eat a serving of broccoli, within about 24 hours or 48 hours, the enzymes in your liver are ramped up. What I mean is that the cells of the liver make more of these enzymes to identify toxins, eliminate them, and excrete them from the body. They're literally taken out of the bloodstream. They're sent through the bile duct and excreted from the intestinal tract. And people who are neglecting their green leafy vegetables tend to have these toxins floating around in their blood much too long. It shouldn't have to happen. With regard to mushrooms, interestingly enough, mushrooms seem to have an anti-cancer effect. I encourage people to have maybe a couple of mushrooms every day. I'm talking about shiitake mushrooms or other kind of mushrooms. Have them cooked. You don't want to eat them just raw. Have them cooked as part of a spaghetti sauce or in a soup or on a salad or something like that. They seem to have an effect almost like an anti-cancer drug, but of course it's totally natural.
Wow. I want to read something from some of your work here and get your comment on it, because this is something that on this show we talk a lot about, the healthy diet. And here you explain, it says here, the major toxins we eat are the following: the flesh of dead animals, milk products, coffee, soda pop, sugar, and highly processed and cooked foods that are devoid of natural enzymes. Your comments.
Well, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of ways that people go wrong. And I've done all of them in my own life. Growing up as a kid, as I was saying earlier, it was a meaty diet. And when I first decided that a vegetarian diet would be a good way to go, I was a little unsure how it would be. But you know what? It turned out to be really, really easy. So I just had lunch just before the program, where I was at a nice Mexican restaurant, and they made me two things. They made me a beautiful bean burrito, which is a tortilla wrapped around beans with some salsa, and then a spinach enchilada with a little bit of salsa also. And you just can't do better than that. It was a lovely meal. And you can do this Chinese style, Japanese. You can go to the best sushi restaurant anywhere, and they'll make you vegetarian sushi with cucumbers and carrots and so forth. So you're not going to be missing out on the pleasures of life. If anything, the pleasures of life are increased because you're having delicious food and a healthy body at the same time.
Well, here's something that I read from some of your work here, that we are the only primate that destroys all the healthy enzymes of the food by cooking it. Let's speak about enzymes in cooking food.
Yeah, that's actually not from my book. That's from somebody else's book.
Right.
But what people will say is that enzymes are naturally in foods and that cooking can destroy them. I'm not 100% sure to what extent that occurs, because your body does have the capacity to manufacture enzymes as well.
Good, good. All right, another thing I have here, it says you've got milk, you've got problems. Dairy cows have overtaken automobiles as the number one air polluter in parts of California, according to a Los Angeles Times article. A New York Times article discusses the eye-stinging, rose-burning smell of cattle congestion in rural California. Can you, because you grew up in a farm and because you know about this issue, tell our listeners about that.
Yeah, I think it's one of the most neglected things, but it's obviously big. Everybody's talking about climate change, and the climate is changing. Unless we've got our head in the sand, we've got to recognize the evidence that the climate is changing. So why is that? It's cars, it's factories, but a substantial amount of evidence shows that a very, very big factor, perhaps even the biggest, is methane coming from cows. Now you think, how could that be? Well, the reason is this. We have about 100 million cows in the United States. And if you put them all on one side of a balance and put human beings all on the other side of the balance, the mass of the cows is bigger than the entire human population of the U.S. And each one of them is as big as a sofa, and they are exhaling methane, which is a much more potent greenhouse chemical, more potent than CO2. So if it's getting hotter and if the climate is changing, you can thank all your meat-eating friends who are unfortunately causing this environmental degradation to occur. The minute we switch to a plant-based diet, we don't need anywhere near as much cultivation, because we're not growing all the corn and soybeans to stuff down a cow's throat. We can leave a lot of the earth to go back to forest. You no longer have the methane production from the animals, and it'll be a healthier world. The sooner we do that, the better. I often say that if you are a meat eater, you are not an environmentalist.
All right. I've got another thing on your paper. It's about PETA. PETA is, for those who don't know, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. They sued for false advertising, arguing that most California dairy cows live miserable lives on overcrowded dirt lots. They're artificially inseminated annually because they don't produce milk without pregnant.
That's right. They have to be impregnated to continue giving milk.
Yeah, what was that lawsuit all about, and who did they sue?
Well, that was a lawsuit brought by PETA, and I'm sure they'd be glad to tell you about it. But what they're thinking of is that the animals on dairy farms are not having a good life. Now, many people will say, I don't want to eat meat, because you don't want to imagine an animal hoisted up by his rear leg and having his throat slit. That doesn't seem very nice. But they'll figure giving milk it's something that doesn't kill the animal. Well, here's what's wrong with it. Cows stop producing milk fairly soon after giving birth. So the farmers have them impregnated every year. That means they give birth every year, and half of the calves, of course, are male. Half are female, half are male. The male calves have no role in a dairy herd, so they are put into small crates and raised as veal. And no civilized person would ever eat veal because they know how cruel it is to have a calf confined and made anemic for veal. But what you may not realize is as long as there's a dairy industry, there will always be veal because they have to get rid of the males when they impregnate them. The females join the dairy herd, but they typically dehorn them. By that I mean without anesthesia, cut the horn buds out of their skull. And then after about 4 years or thereabouts, the dairy cow is no longer producing enough milk to justify keeping her, even when they do impregnate them. They're no longer worth it. So they truck them off, and they usually become a low-grade meat like hamburger. So in other words, the dairy cow is going to get killed at the end, just only after being impregnated and giving birth and having their male calves killed. The dairy industry is a disgusting industry from an animal welfare standpoint. From a health standpoint, as a doctor, I have long been concerned that the number one source, the leading source of bad fat in the diet, saturated fat, is dairy products, cheese, milk, ice cream. That's where it's coming from. And the sooner you get the dairy products out of your life, the sooner you're going to breathe easier and be healthier.
Yeah, I think what they said is that in milk, for example, that one out of three people are allergic to milk because of the lactose. Tell us about that.
Well, lactose is the milk sugar. And a baby can digest lactose, but you can't as an adult in many cases because you lose the enzymes called lactase that allow you to digest it. Now, many Caucasians, white people, carry a genetic mutation that allows these enzymes to persist longer in life. But most people of other races tend to become lactose intolerant fairly early in life. Everybody's a little bit different, but if you started to get a little gassy and a little bit of bloating, that could well be a lactose intolerance. It's extremely common, and the answer is just to stop consuming milk. You'll get plenty of calcium from green vegetables, from beans. If you think about it, where did the cow got her calcium? From green vegetables. The cow's a vegan and got it all from eating grass, basically.
Yeah, you know, Dr. Barnard, by the way, for those the listeners that came in a little bit late, we are speaking to Dr. Neil Barnard, who is an author of many, many books and also the director of Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. We're doing a great interview on this case show right this minute. And also, some of the things that we talk about on this show, either myself or one of my co-hosts, we get together and just talk on our own or we interview somebody. As about, you've already spoken about meat and dairy. There are many other things that coffee. I'd like to hear your take on what's going on with coffee and the bad effects of it.
Mixed bag, I'd have to say. On the good side, there's some evidence that suggests that coffee might actually reduce the risk of Alzheimer's. Now, the hitch is you got to drink 3 or 4 or 5 cups of it a day to have any value. On the negative side, and I guess also many people feel that coffee keeps them alive. They can't function without it. The reason is that they are physically adapted to it. And when they were a 12-year-old child, they had the best energy of their whole life without drinking caffeine at all. But once in adulthood we get hooked on it, then you wake up in the morning in withdrawal and you feel terrible. So the negatives of coffee are really it disrupts sleep. It alters our personality in some ways. Not necessarily dramatically, but many people have a little bit of an edge or irritability that they would not have if they were not on coffee. So I don't think it's the worst thing in the world, I have to say, but personally, I avoid coffee, and I think that people are frankly a little bit nicer to deal with if they have broken free from their caffeine habit.
Yeah, there are some studies that say that coffee has a lot of carcinogenic things in it. Let's talk about alcohol. A lot of people tell me when I talk about alcohol, they say, well, we heard that red wine is good for you. What I tell them is, well, the grapes in the red wine is good for you, but the alcohol is not. I'd like your comments on that.
an interesting thing. Researchers in France found exactly what you said, which is that if people would have a glass of wine every day, their Alzheimer's risk was diminished, and quite substantially. But then researchers asked the question, well, what if it is not the alcohol? Maybe it's the grape that's doing this good. Because the purple color of, say, a Concord grape, that's called anthocyanins. It's this dark purple pigment that happens to be a powerful antioxidant. And if you eat a grape or grape juice, those anthocyanins pass into your bloodstream. So researchers at the University of Cincinnati, and I described this, by the way, in Power Foods for the Brain, if anybody wants to see the science of it, they brought in a group of people. They were having memory problems, and they were, the average age was 78. They asked them to have 2 cups of grape juice per day for a 3-month period. And they showed that their memory improved and their ability to recall things improved. And I am not saying that you have to have grape juice every day, but why not have some blueberries on your morning oatmeal, some grapes on your salad. All of these foods contain blueberries, grapes, strawberries, raspberries. They contain anthocyanins that protect the plant, but they protect you too.
Yes. Dr. Barnard, white products, white like starchy things, breads and muffins, and white rice also, why are those bad for you?
I don't think they are bad for you necessarily. If Americans all threw out the meat and the dairy products and started eating white rice and vegetables, they would be a lot healthier, much healthier. Having said that, although white rice is okay, brown rice is going to be better. If it's brown rice, it's got a little coating on it that is full of fiber. That's the rice bran. So you're better off with that. If you're having brown bread that's made with whole grain rather than the refined grain that has the fiber removed, you're better off. But I think it's a mistake to condemn white products. Very often I will hear somebody say, don't eat anything white. Maybe.
Right.
But does that mean I shouldn't be eating cauliflower? You know, cauliflower is fine for you. Cabbage
okay.
is fine. Potatoes are fine. Now, if you turn them into French fries, that's not so good. But on the other hand, I think typical potatoes are probably okay. A sweet potato is better because it has a lot of beta carotene in it. So that's my take on it. I do prefer brown rice, but I have to say when people in Japan were at their healthiest, before the invasion of meaty foods from the West, their diet was very high in white rice, and I think that's okay. It's best to prefer brown rice, but white is okay.
Right, very good. Well, there are some of the whites that I think I'm really referring to are things with muffins and white bread and things with flour in them. What's your take on that? We've only got a few minutes left, so let's finish this up.
When we look at what are the biggest threats, meat and dairy products are the worst things. If you are concerned about your health, if you want to not get Alzheimer's, if you've got a little bit of a belly you want to get rid of, if you want to knock off some weight, if you want to avoid diabetes, throw the animal products out of your diet. That's the first thing. The second thing is to keep oils really low. A lot of people eat a lot of very greasy food. That grease builds up in your cells. You don't want to do that. And then the third thing is what you're hitting on now, where there are many different carbohydrate-containing foods, and carbohydrates are good for you because your body runs on glucose. That's the natural sugar. Carbohydrates are the natural source of it. But some are better than others. Not a lot of sugary junk. Instead, have whole grains, have beans, have starchy vegetables, and that's a healthy diet. Make sure you get a source of vitamin B12, a B12 supplement, any strength, any brand. You'll see them at the drugstores, at health food stores, and you need to take that every day. If you're doing that, you've really got all the bases licked.
Your take on aspartame, that's one of the things that the new studies are saying that this is very, very bad, the flavors that they put into coffee and other things. I'd like to hear your thought on that very quickly.
Yes, aspartame or NutraSweet goes back a very long ways. And the concern that many people have with it, of course, is that it maintains the desire for sweet taste, even though it doesn't really have calories. And it will reduce the caloric intake. Many people seem to get hooked on it, and they really want to have that sweet taste all the time. And so even when there's no aspartame around, they want sugary stuff. It's better to have your sweet tooth pulled, is what I sometimes say.
Right. Very good. Well, Dr. Barnard, we're about finished here. I'd like to give us your contact information.
Sure. Yeah, go to our website, which is PCRM.org. That stands for Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, PCRM.org. And when you go to the website, jump into our Kickstart program. The Kickstart program is in English and in Spanish and even in Mandarin Chinese. It gives you 3 weeks of healthy menus and recipes, even cooking videos, all for free. PCRM.org. The book I was mentioning is called Power Foods for the Brain. I hope people will have a chance to take a look at it.
Excellent. And I'd like to have you on again in the near future. I will. By the way, your helper, Jessica, did a great job in setting this up. And I want our listeners to know I never had a chance to talk to Dr. Neil Barnard, so we did this very spontaneously. Excellent, Dr. Barnard. I really enjoyed everything, and I hope our listeners look into your information. Thank you.
Well, you're doing a great job. Thanks for getting the word out.
Thank you. All right. Very good. All right. Let's move on to some other things, some announcements that I want to make, and also some encouragement. And be sure to stay for the end of the show. We're going to have that song again, We Shall Overcome by Joanne Baez, to give a commemoration to what happened 50 years ago. And again, we had the 50-year anniversary Wednesday, the 28th, a few days ago. The Great March, Dr. Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream. It was just a great day for jobs, for freedom, for a lot of things. And my take on that is that there have been a few things that have happened to make things a little better, but we still have major, major problems. We have so many people. 1 billion people in this world are hungry. 1 billion out of 7 billion on the planet. In this country, United States, the richest country in the world, we've got 25% of children go hungry. We have 33% of all families are going check to check. They're having a hard time. They're barely making it, and they're just one check away from being homeless. And the homeless rates are going higher and higher. In future shows, we're going to have more information about groups like Foods Not Bombs and a few other groups, the New Society, and there's other groups that are out there feeding people, food banks. We're going to have some of those people on to talk about homelessness and hunger. We're going to talk more in the near future about some great things about aging, genetically engineered foods, cell phone radiation. In the next few weeks, we're going to talk about all those things. We'll have a new promo on real soon and give you some more background and dates on all that. First big announcement, and I know I'm giving you lots of announcements, and this show is becoming like Progressive Radio West. That's what I like to think of it as. And we want to do more things for the West Coast. A lot of the shows on PRN are East Coast-based, and that's fine. That's great, great information. But we have a lot of great stuff in the West Coast, too, and I want to bring that out to you. The 41st Annual Cancer Convention is going on today, tomorrow, and Labor Day, Monday the 2nd, at the Sheraton Universal Hotel. It's up in the hill and by Universal Studios in the North Hollywood, Studio City, Hollywood area. Lectures, exhibits, movies for the public and professionals. Well-known medical doctors, clinical researchers, nutritionists, and authors will speak on prevention and control of cancer and other diseases through nutrition, tests, non-toxic therapy, such as Laetrile, Gerson, Hoxie, Poly-MVA, phytochemicals, and immunotherapy. Lots of great stuff. I mean, this is, you're going to hear about gelatin, DMSO, which you've got to hear about, oxygen, herbal cellular and electromagnetic therapies. Magnetics are coming big, big time. I mean, I've been going to a cleanse. It's using biomagnetic items, and it's a great cleanse. It's in the Southern California area. It takes me an hour and a half to get there, and it's just wonderful. I am excited about so many things about this show, about health, about having people. So I want you to keep coming in. If you like the show, please rate us on iTunes. My name is Bobby Elias, and the name of this show is Let's Create a Better World, and also Healthy Aging, Let's Live to Be Over 100 Years Old. We have some great guests coming on in the near future, as I said. Another announcement. This coming 2 weeks from today, September 14th, on a Saturday, 5 o'clock, we're going to have a Gary Null Health Support Group meeting in Long Beach. I'm running the meetings, and I'm putting these meetings all over Southern California. According to Gary Null's office, the Southern California Gary Null Health Support Group is the best of all the support groups around the country. So we're proud of that, and we're keeping this going. This meeting is going to be in Long Beach. It's about juicing. A lady named Faith Kincaid, who has her juice center in Long Beach, she will speak at a restaurant in Long Beach. We'll give you more details on that next week when she comes on. The restaurant's called Pier 76. It's right on the corner of Linden and Ocean. Ocean Avenue is the big street in Long Beach, and it's going to be Saturday the 14th, 5 p.m. We're going to give out 3 copies of Gary's DVD called Joy of Juicy. And if they don't want that one, I'll have some other copies of other, if they've already got that, for example, everyone's going to get 1 free DVD of their choice, that being the main one. Plus, there'll be some free food there put together by the restaurant, get some hors d'oeuvres or something, and they're doing that, and it's only going to cost $12 for people to come to this event. It's going to be wonderful. So I hope for those of you in Southern California will keep that in mind. Let's end the show in a few minutes with the song by Joan Baez. First, let me just say that the piece with us on iTunes. You can check us on the archives. And I am very excited about this show and about the future. We're going to talk about nature and about how you need to take your shoes off and walk on the grass or walk on the sand and ground yourself. We talk about dancing, how dancers live to be longer than anyone because it's so exhilarating. Yoga, we need to stretch. Meditation, we need to breathe so air can go into our brain. These are just a few of the great things we're talking about besides the health issues, the body, mind, spirit issues. I'm excited. We're going to have some great things on. Dr. Sarah Larson is coming on more and more as a co-host. She spoke at our last Gary Null meeting last weekend, I'm just excited. So let's finish the show. Thank you for coming in. Let me give a special thanks to Jimmy D, our LA, our Southern California producer of this show. I want to thank Dr. Barnard, who just spoke, his helper, Jessica. I want to Jimmy D. I want to thank our producer. Producer in New York, Jason, and Jeannie, our engineer from New York. Thank you all, and let's hear the song by Joan Baez. We Shall Overcome.
Right. We you very much. Bye-bye.